We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. I'm Jim Galante along with Dustin Hawkinsmith. And this segment, we continue our series of Dustin's top 20 recruits of the James Franklin era. And this segment is brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook and Casino. DraftKings Sportsbook, yes, that DraftKings is now offering a mobile casino in Pennsylvania. DraftKings Sportsbook and Casino offers an endless amount of casino games to play, all from the comfort and safety of home. Right now, all first-time casino players can play up to $200 risk-free for the first 24 hours of casino play. You have so many options for you, like slots and blackjack and roulette. Pick out your favorite. It's so easy to play. Great. You could do it straight from home. All you need to do is download the DraftKings Sportsbook and Casino app now and use promo code KSN to play risk-free up to $200 of casino games for your first 24 hours. That's promo code KSN. Play risk-free up to $200 up to $200 in your first 24 hours of casino play on DraftKings Sportsbook and Casino. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Hollywood Casino at Penn National Racecourse. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right, Dusty, this is your top 20 recruits of the James Franklin era. Before we get started, why don't you explain your criteria for choosing these guys and give us the quick countdown of who we had last week already?
Sure. Yeah, I think, to keep it concise, we're going to call it, most important recruits. But I think, to me, it's the highest magnitude recruiting victories, the significance of getting these recruiting wins. And I think how hard you had to work, or how much drama there was involved, or how much you needed that particular position. Those are the types of factors that I considered more than anything. So we kind of had the dialogue that, it's not necessarily the guys who turned out to be the best players. Let's put it that way. So I think in some of these cases, yeah, that's true. But I'm looking at more how hard Penn State had to work and that kind of thing. So we started at 20 was Robert Windsor, went into Wisconsin, pulled out a guy that Wisconsin hadn't even offered yet. Theo Johnson at number 19. I think Penn State needed a big recruiting win, a known commodity to get an elite tight end. I thought was a big deal in that class. Kevin Givens at number 18 was one of those guys. Penn State got extra scholarships at the end of that 2015 cycle. They flipped him from Pitt. He wasn't a linebacker. He wasn't a defensive end. He ended up being a defensive tackle. I thought the developmental, the feather in the cap from that was important. Fred Hansard was the last one we got to last week in the 2017 class. The first of a long string of defensive tackle victories. I thought the significance of getting an elite defensive tackle, a four-star who was previously committed to Florida, I thought was a significant thing for Penn State as a program at that point in time. And you've seen, we talked about it last segment, they've gone on a pretty serious, 4-year tear since then, and they've got a ton of defensive tackle depth. I felt like that all started with Fred Hansard. For me, now at 16, we'll start with the new names. Lance Dixon in the 2019 class. We haven't yet seen what he is capable of doing. We know what he's capable of doing. We haven't seen him do it yet. But I think, the Michigan pipeline has been alive and well for Penn State going back a long time. It goes back to, I think, Tim Shaw and the early 2000s. You've got Allen Robinson from Michigan, KJ Hamler from Michigan, who we'll get to later in this series. So recruiting in Michigan isn't new, but I think scoring big wins in the state of Michigan helped kind of set the stage for what Penn State is doing now in the 2021 class, where they've got three commitments from Michigan so far and a possibility of a fourth or a fifth, and I think updating that recruiting history in Michigan and maintaining those good relationships and having guys who current players admired when they were still in high school go and be happy and do good things at out of school is important. Lance Dixon, who emerged as a five-star from 24/7 Sports late in the 2019 cycle, was a huge win, I thought, in the first place. But I felt like it was a good bridge between what Penn State had done recruiting in the past in Michigan to taking them forward. You saw it with Enzo Jennings in 2020 and then what they've done in 2021. I just thought it was an important win in the state of Michigan in the grand scheme of things, in addition to him being a five-star.
Well, in last week with Fred Hansard's name, I challenged you because you didn't have Etor Gross Matos on your list. This week, maybe just explain Lance Dixon coming in from Michigan. You have him in, but not another linebacker, Brandon Smith, who right now is listed as a starter and was a very highly regarded linebacker. The difference being you felt they were very comfortable that they would land Brandon Smith. He was in a traditional recruiting area. So that was the differentiation between a Lance Dixon and a Brandon Smith, correct?
Yeah, I felt like just the recruiting intrigue and the significance beyond the player himself. And honestly, I mean, this is so incredibly subjective in the first place. These are just my sort of what I'm looking for. And for Brandon Smith, there wasn't a lot of drama in his recruitment, right? It was a significant recruiting win. It was in Virginia, which you always want to be in Virginia. But I chose Lance Dixon's name, yeah, just because I felt like renewing that recruiting history in the state of Michigan was important, in addition to him being a pretty freakish athlete, too. Now, I put two together.
Now, I was just going to move on to, I was going to line you up with number 15 that you cheated a little bit. You put two guys in there, and it was interesting, and you could explain to us why. Both Chris Godwin and Mike Gesicki, they were from the 2014 class. Both of them had tremendous careers at Penn State and are now doing it at the next level. So go ahead. I'm going to let you get away with the cheating and putting two guys in there at one position.
Well, I mean, if I were to go back to the 2014 class and single out all the guys who turned out to be really good players and who James Franklin inherited and had to re-recruit and that kind of thing. But these two guys really stand out at the top of the list as guys that that were on board. James Franklin, they make the coaching change. James Franklin has to keep them on board, and they turn out to be great players now. They're great players now in the NFL too. I just lumped them together, and you know, obviously there's magnitude in being able to hold on to these guys, but you had to draw a line somewhere in that 14 class. You know, there are more guys in the 14 class who are mentioned. A couple, you know, I think that James Franklin actually had to go out and recruit and sign them on his own. Remember that 2 or 3 week stretch where he arrived from Vanderbilt and had to keep this whole thing together. You know, all of that was significant. You know, to be able to come in and be able to keep the guys who were on board, to be able to alleviate any concerns and meet with them and talk to the parents and keep their commitments. You know, they were all pretty significant in their own way. But obviously what Chris Godwin and Mike Gesicki did in their Penn State careers and what they're doing now at the next level is huge. And, you know, just a couple weeks ago, Mike Gesicki, you know, he sent out some kind of tweet that basically said, why would you play anywhere but Penn State? And, you know, looking back at his history, you know, not committing to James Franklin, to recommitting to James Franklin, to enduring all kinds of trouble with drops and inconsistency early in his career, to come out the other side the way that he came out and to be such a vocal proponent of Penn State. You know, that's the kind of stuff, you know, why I lump these two together.
And credit to James Franklin in keeping that class together. And kudos to that group because they ended up a couple years later winning a Big Ten championship. Next up on the list, and I couldn't agree more, belonging on this list, Sean Clifford.
I think it's a significant recruiting victory anytime you get your starting quarterback. You know, so first and foremost, it's that. But second of all, Sean Clifford was not a super straightforward recruitment. He wasn't universally praised as a recruit. He wasn't offered by Ohio State. He played at St. Xavier, at one of the, you know, traditional powerhouses in the state of Ohio. He had some injury stuff going on, some concerns there. I don't think he was the most toolsy quarterback in that 2017 recruiting cycle. But what you've seen over time, you know, I think Penn State was right about him from a competitiveness, from a gamer, from a leadership point of view. And I thought they saw those things in him, which is why they recruited him in the first place, why they stuck with him as he, you know, went through some injuries. But I think you've also seen his tools have developed very, very nicely since he got to Penn State. You know, I still think we have yet to see the full maximum impact of his ability to throw the deep ball. You know, he's running in the 4.5s now, so he's moving better than he ever has. A guy who got into the weight program, got with Dwight Gault, and came, you know, is emerging as a guy who's really good, you know, across the board. He's got NFL tools now, I think. So I think just from the uncertainty to his emergence as a starter, as a redshirt sophomore, validating some of the things that Penn State saw in him at a young age, I think obviously, you know, he's your starter, so he's a significant recruiting win. At 13, another big recruiting win that I felt like, and really number 12 too, if we get to number 12, but Ellis Brooks in 2017, really late get. I think it was mid-January, I believe, in that 2017 cycle. At that point in time, Penn State, you know, the narrative was that they weren't getting or keeping elite linebackers. And just before that, Dylan Rivers was committed to Penn State. He flipped to Virginia Tech. It only fed that narrative further. So Penn State closes late in this cycle. I thought just a huge close with Ellis Brooks. As an Under Armour All-American, they lose Dylan Rivers. They end up getting what looks to be the better player of the two anyway. And now Ellis Brooks looks like he might be your starting middle linebacker in 2020. So I think there's a lot of different ways that was significant in that 17 class, which is why he's on this list.
Yeah, definitely. He is listed as a starter right now. I think he will be that guy. And like Kevin Givens, he was picked up late in the process. Whenever you get a guy that late in the process, it usually means something else went wrong. As you mentioned, like a Dylan Rivers decommitted. So you needed a substitute. And, you know, what a substitute when you get a guy who ends up being a starter. I also wanted to mention you had Sean Clifford at number 14. And as you said, when you get a multi-year starting quarterback, I think that's a significant recruit. I probably would have had him a bit higher. I'm a little bit surprised you had him, this low at 14, because wasn't it just a few weeks ago you said he was going to be the next Joe Burrow this year? So I think that would mean you'd want him higher than this, right?
Well, I think next year at this time, if we do this again, he'll be number one after all that, after my bold prediction comes true. And then, you know, looking ahead, you know, 6 or 7 years, probably Tom Brady after that. So he'll be the college version of Joe Burrow and the pro version of Tom Brady all over again. So let's make sure all my optimism comes through.
All right. That's got to be it for this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Make sure to join us next time.
So, what's so different about new Labatt Blue Citra? Could be the bright hop aroma. Or the crisp, clean finish. That all come together for a new kind of refreshing. Brewed with Citra and Mosaic hops, all new Labatt Blue Citra delivers ultimate drinkability and a new way to get up and get out. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Everyone knows AAA gives you peace of mind when you're out on the road. But did you know you get other perks as well? Besides providing reliable roadside service for over 100 years, AAA also provides great discounts on entertainment, prescriptions, rental cars, hotels, insurance, and so much more. Take advantage of everything AAA has to offer. Purchase, renew, or upgrade your membership today at AAA.com.
DraftKings Sportsbook is offering a mobile casino in Pennsylvania. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook and Casino app and use code KSN to play risk-free up to $200 of casino games for your first 24 hours. That's code KSN to play risk-free up to $200 for your first 24 hours of casino play on DraftKings Sportsbook and Casino. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Hollywood Casino at Penn National Racecourse. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.